Likutei Sichos, Chelek, Tes Zayin, that's book 16, Yisrei, the second Sicha. This starts with the father-in-law, Yisrei, Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law. The Torah tells us this week he came for a visit, and he saw how Moshe Rabbeinu, his son-in-law, is working so hard from the morning till the evening. So he had this proposal to him. He said, "Why are you sitting yourself? And all the people are coming to see you from morning till evening. You're going to get worn out, you and the people." And he actually didn't just point out the problem. He gave him a solution, gave him an eitzah. Said, "Why don't you should see to appoint other levels of hierarchy? Sorry, I love him. People that will oversee thousands. Sorry, mayors. People that will oversee hundreds, and so on. And they will be available to judge the people at all times. And only those big things that they're not able to deal with, they will bring to you for adjudication. They'll bring it to you for to render your decision. And through such a system, you will be able to amoid, you'll be able to survive, you'll be able to do well. And all the people will also come, each one in their place, peacefully." In other words, it's going to be a manageable situation. So we know the great question in them, the tmiya, the amazing, the wonderment about this. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the faithful shepherd of the Jewish people, he didn't himself come to this realization that the way he's conducting himself, the way he's leading the people, the way he's judging the people can bring to a position where people will become worn out? And he didn't have the idea, the simple idea, that perhaps he should delegate and create various levels of hierarchy and hand over the easier things to other people. And Yisrei, he needed to wait for his father-in-law Yisrei, the priest from Midian, who came just for a short time, a short visit, and he was able to see it. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu see it? Now there is in brackets here, the Rebbe says there is a saying in the world, out there in the street, people say, "A guest for a while, zet if a mile," which literally means a guest for a while sees for a mile. In other words, somebody who's, when you're in a scenario, when you're in a situation, you don't necessarily notice the other options or how it's how it may be, when things aren't going in the best possible way. And somebody comes from the outside, so then they pick up, you know, simple things that when you're in the scenario, you don't necessarily notice. However, chas v'shalom, and by the way, the fact that it's a saying in the world, interesting that the Rebbe footnotes here, we find the Gemara has various places where it says, what is the Torah basis for this that it says, the popular saying? What's the basis for it in the Torah? In other words, we do pay credence to popular sayings. They're words of wisdom, right? Another footnote, another place that Rebbe sends to is actually regarding a halacha about the bracha we make for water and the after bracha. And the Gemara says, go see what do people actually do. And that's one of the ways we establish halacha. So in other words, what's out there in the street, common sayings and so on, sometimes are quite wise. It's not that because they belong to the street, belong to the people outside, so to speak. No. Anyway, so we have this aphorism, we have this saying, a guest for a while sees for a mile, but still in all. God forbid, chas v'shalom, to say about Moshe Rabbeinu, who Hashem chose him from his very birth to be the savior of the Jews. You know why all the males were all the boys, the male boys, were thrown into the Nile? Because the stargazers of Paroi sensed and saw when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. They said that there's been somebody now conceived who's going to be the Redeemer of Israel. And they didn't know who. So the only way to counterbalance that was that every child that was born, every male son, male child that was born, would be thrown into the Nile. So in other words, we understand they did see correctly that Moshe Rabbeinu was born as the Redeemer of Israel already. And nonetheless, And also the house was full of light when he was born and so on. As well, he's already now, how old is Moshe Rabbeinu at this stage? Let's remember, he's 80, right? They left Egypt, he's 80, 81. And he's already been the leader of the Jewish people for quite a while. Footnotes here, when did he go out? There's various opinions in the Medrash when he went out of the palace of Pare and started to tend to the people in Egypt. One of the opinions is that he was 20. So he already has 60 years of leadership, so to speak, under his belt. And he didn't pick up a simple thing that that Yisrei saw when he came, that he should, what is it called in management? Delegate, right? Delegate, create a hierarchy, and only deal with the big things. So from this end of, this is the end of the bracket, go back to the Sikha. So from this we understand that by Moshe Rabbeinu, he did see this scenario. He did understand what was happening. But Moshe Rabbeinu, by him, and that's really from his perspective the truth, he does have to deal with everything individually. There's nothing that he can hand off. And everybody will be able to survive, and this will be the best for the Jewish community. How do we know that this was meant to be that way from Moshe's perspective? We see it because, like this, the name of Yisrei actually had seven names. One of them is Yeser. Yeser means additional. Yisrei means Yeser plus Vav. The Rebbe proposes that perhaps he was called Yeser because Yeser means additional. A new portion was going to be added to the Torah, the portion of judges, of appointing judges underneath Moshe. So Yeser, he was already prophetically, by his father or whatever, called Yeser, an addition, because he was going to add something to the Torah. And the Rebbe says that we could say that after he added this portion, because he came and he gave, did I jump the gun? He came and he gave an instruction, and Hashem says, yes, go along with it. So we added a portion of the Torah called Ve'ata Techeze. It starts with a Vav. So a Vav, Yeter, becomes Yitro. Yeter and Yitro are the same word. One has a Vav at the end. At any rate, both those names tell us that a Parsha was added. One second. A Parsha was added. That means to say that what? That this wasn't going to be the initial plan of Hashem, so to speak. That there was going to be a hierarchy of judges. It came because Yisrael came and proposed it. Hashem said, good idea. This parsha, this teaching, this chapter that speaks about the appointment of judges is going to be added to the Torah. In other words, it wasn't meant to be that way, so to speak. So that means that Moshe was correct for not seeing that this needed to be done. It was an addition that Yisrael was to bring to the table. By the way, in Chassidus, it explains, the footnote brings, in Chassidus, he does explain that Yisrael brought a lot to the table because he was coming from a place of idolatry. By him coming and saying, I now know that Hashem is true, he was actually bringing a gift or he was bringing the greatness of darkness being turned into light. So Yisrael adds to the Torah. But what, for our purposes, what we want to know here is that before Yisrael came, it means this wasn't meant to be the way it was going to be. So Moshe was supposed to be the only one that would judge the people. So we need to understand what happened here. If Moshe Rabbeinu was meant to be the one that's able to handle this all himself to judge the people, so why was Yisrael's issue taken seriously and accepted, and Hashem actually went along with it and said, yes, you should appoint other levels of judges to create a hierarchy of different levels of governance. Hashem wasn't planning to do it. Moshe didn't see the need for it. Yisrael came and proposed, and Hashem said, good idea. What happened there? What's the two perspectives? L'chaim. So, paragraph 2. There's a very similar concept where we see also these two perspectives. Where do we see this similar context? When we talk about the Aseres HaDibrois, the Ten Commandments. Right after the saying of the Ten Commandments, the first set of commandments, this story with the story of Yisrael is talking after the second, the day after Yom Kippur, after the second set of tablets were given on Yom Kippur. Let's go to a similar story that happened right after the first set of luchos were given. And that is, the Yidden Taina, the Jew said, we can't listen, we can't learn directly from Hashem. If we hear Hashem speaking more, our souls are going to expire, we're going to die. And they asked from Moshe Rabbeinu, please, you be the one to transmit to us. And Rashi there explains that the language used is feminine. Va'at tedaber elenu. You, Moshe, speak to us. But it should say ata. That means you in masculine. At is when you say you to a feminine. So why is it Moshe Rabbeinu being addressed feminine? And Rashi brings there that Moshe Rabbeinu says, you made me weak. You made me weak in like in a feminine way, weaker than a masculine. Why? Because I was pained by your request. You made me weak. Wouldn't it have been better for you to hear directly from the teacher, from Almighty God, than from me? In other words, look what's happening here. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm so upset. Why don't you want to continue hearing directly from Hashem? Why are you asking me to be the transmitter? However, Hashem, when he heard this suggestion by the Bnei Yisrael, you know what he said? He said, they've spoken well. Yes, you be the one. You be the one. I'll speak to you. You speak to them. That sounds exactly like what we're discussing here. That as far as Hashem has set up the system, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can handle all the teaching and all the judgments. And Yisrael comes and says, I think we need help. And Hashem says, yep, he's right. So again, Hashem wants to say the whole Torah to the Eden, to the Jews. And they say, no, we can't handle more than just the beginning of the Ten Commandments. It was too much for us already. And Hashem says, you know what? They're right. They should hear it from you, Moshe. But Moshe was upset. Moshe initially thought that they should hear it directly from Hashem. Here too, we have that same scenario. Moshe was ready to judge them all himself. Yisrael comes and says, no, not good for them. They can't handle that. And Hashem says, yeah, they're right. You're right, Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu set up a system. So, and we know that. It's a huge difference between hearing directly from Hashem, and hearing through Moshe. That's why Moshe got weakened from even hearing that notion that they said they want to hear not from Hashem, they want to hear from him, because it's a huge jump, it's a quantum leap. But yet Moshe Rabbeinu thought they were able to hear that. And Hashem said, no, they're right, they should hear it through you. Like, what didn't he get? In other words, why was he evaluating them or assuming that they were so much more able, so much higher than they really were? What's going on here? In other words, part of being, look, you have to understand that part of being a good leader is to be in touch with your people. So how is it possible, asked the Rebbe here, that Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the faithful shepherd, he's the provider of the entire Jewish people, was so to speak out of touch and wasn't able to truly evaluate and assess the level that his people needed to be able to receive the word of Hashem? Chapter 3. One of the explanations that we can say in this, says the Rebbe, it's not pshat that Moshe Rabbeinu, God forbid, had a mistake in assessing the situation, the ability of the Jews. Now, what he was saying is, when Moshe Rabbeinu, from his perspective, looks at the Jews, the way they are in his presence. By the way, footnote here. When you're in the presence of your teacher, you act differently. That's why the Gemara says, try and live in proximity to your teacher. Yeah, but the Gemara says, but one second, it says elsewhere, don't live near your teacher. It says, it depends. If you're going to listen to him, live in proximity to him. If you're not going to listen to him, better you should be making inadvertent mistakes than blatant mistakes, so get far away from him. But in other words, very simple reality here. when people are in proximity of their holy teacher, their holy master, they are elevated. They maintain their integrity. They maintain a higher state. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he looks at the Jews as they are standing in proximity to him, they indeed are higher. And they're able to get the teaching directly from Hashem. They don't need him. That's what he wanted them to do. Because, but it's not because of who they are. It's because their teacher, Moshe, elevates them to his level and brings them closer to have the ability to hear transmission directly from Hashem. However, the Yidden were saying, but that's not us. That's where we're in Moshe's presence. We can hear directly from Hashem. But that's only because Moshe is elevating us. We want to, however, internalize. We want to get Hashem's message in a way that it can become integrated and internalized and assimilated into us. Ah, for that, it's too high. The word of Hashem directly is too high. It's not absorbable by us, so to speak. And therefore, Hashem said, you know what, they're right. They want to have an experience which becomes part of them, which is absorbable and can become the definition of who they are. And for that, it's going to need to be distilled. It's going to need to be transmitted, not directly from Hashem, but actually through the prism, so to speak, of Moshe Rabbeinu, who's going to make it, bring it down to a level where it's going to be more accessible to them, and thus it'll truly become theirs in a more personal way, in a more panemius decoy. Fascinating, you do know that it comes out that they're going to be getting less, though, right? If you would hear from Moshe Rabbeinu, you'd have much more holy. If you'd hear directly from Hashem, you have a higher intensity of holiness, it would seem. So why are you downgrading? Hearing from Moshe is amazing, but still, you could hear from Hashem. And Moshe was upset. Why don't you want to hear from Hashem? No, we'd rather it be absorbable and lower level rather than hearing it from Hashem, higher level, but too intense for us to absorb. That's exactly what the sages tell us. There's a saying of Chazal that says, a person by nature wants one measure, but his more than 9 measures that belong to somebody else. Maybe the other person will let him use it, give him access to it, or even give it to him, but it's not earned. A person would prefer one measure that's earned and truly becomes theirs over 9 that's somebody else's. So this is the way it was. And this is the Rebbe, is what the Bnei Yisrael was saying to Hashem. They told Moshe, we want to hear from you because we want it to be more accessible to us, be able to be absorbable on our level. Chapter 4, according to this, we can understand also why Moshe Rabbeinu says, you didn't want to hear from God. You have made me weak, like a woman. Which means, not only, you know, today we're in 2021, right? We say, make me weak like a woman. Women are very, very strong. That's correct. But in terms of brute strength, we're talking about here, right? You made me, so he says, you've made me weak, which means not just you've made me aggravation, but you've made me weak. Why would Moshe get weak? He should be aggravated, you can understand. I expected you to want to listen to Hashem directly. Now you want to hear it from me. I got aggravated. I got pain. What do you mean weak? The Rebbe explains the word weak is not just a haphazard or a coincidental word. It's used with design. In other words, you want to hear from me. You know what has to happen for that? I have to go down, says Moshe Rabbeinu, for my level. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu shines with his entire intensity, with his full strength, it won't be the level that's going to be able to be absorbed by the people. It's going to be that same level where you're, so to speak, hearing it from Hashem. So therefore, Moshe says, I have to downgrade, not downgrade, I have to kind of weaken myself. I have to, dilute. Chas shalom, not you know, make it weaken a little bit, so I'm going to be able to transmit to you what you want and what Hashem has agreed that you should get, level in a level that's palatable to you, that's absorbable to you, that you're able to assimilate into yourselves, make part of you. Okay, chapter 5. When did the time come? When the time came that Moshe had to start learning Torah with the Yidden, with the Jewish people, after he got the Torah at Har Sinai, and after the whole golden calf, and then the second tablets were given, and the forgiveness on Yom Kippur, then he thought, you know what? Now I'm going to be teaching the Torah that I heard. They didn't hear it directly. But who should be teaching the Torah? I should be teaching everything to the Jewish people. Everything directly. So, and indeed, by the way, indeed, the Gemara explains, footnote here, the Gemara explains that the way that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah was as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu taught to Aaron first. Aaron came and sat at his side. Aaron's two sons came in. Moshe said it again, time two. Aaron's two sons came and sat, one on either side of Moshe and Aaron. The elders came in. Moshe Rabbeinu said it a third time. And they all listened. The elders listened. The elders heard, and then they sat themselves down in front of Moshe. And then the entire nation came. And Moshe said it the fourth time, and everybody heard. Then Moshe left, and it was repeated by Aaron, who left, and then repeated by his sons, who left, and then by the elders. So everybody heard it four times. But even just the entire people heard it at least once, everything in Torah directly from Moshe. So Moshe made the calculation that the Torah should continue to be transmitted directly through from him. Because since he's the one that heard directly from Hashem, so nobody else is going to be able to give it over with all the illumination. And more than that, since he is the one that Hashem says, you will be standing between me and the Jewish people. And later in Devarim he says, I stood between you and Hashem to tell you the word of Hashem. Especially that the Shechinah, Hashem's holy presence, speaks from the throat of Moshe. So it comes out when they hear Torah from Moshe, it's like it is literally they're hearing it from Hashem. And that's why when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yisrael comes and says, my son-in-law, what are you doing? Why are people lined up and you're working from morning to evening? And what did Moshe add? He says, when people come to me to seek God, Lidrei Shalikim, they're coming to hear like a student will come to hear. They're coming to hear, what does Hashem have to say? So that's why I have to answer. And especially since Moshe, when he speaks to the Jews, elevates the Jews to be closer to his level, so therefore he's going to be able to give it in a direct transmission. Moshe Rabbeinu heard from Hashem is going to transmit directly to the Jews the way they are when they're elevated to be direct recipients from him. In other words, what was Moshe's unique level? Moshe's unique level was called Re'iya, vision, sight. He received the teaching from Hashem in such a clarity that is referred to as Re'iya, as seeing what Hashem was teaching him. More than that, you can't compare hearing something from somebody who only understood and heard something compared to somebody who hears something after they saw it. Incomparable. If somebody saw it and he describes it, you will understand it much more than if you're hearing it from somebody who just heard a description of something. So here Moshe Rabbeinu saw. He studied from Hashem in a way of seeing the sights. And now he's telling the Jewish people, he's giving it over in a way that only somebody who has seen it can give it over. So Moshe was able to also affect that the recipients, the Jewish people receiving from Moshe, should also be in a level of Re'iyah, in a level as if they see it. Very interesting footnote here. that why do we believe Moshe, and nothing can ever shake our belief in that? If a prophet comes and does a miracle and says, Moshe's prophecy is outdated, there's something new, you know he's a false prophet. How do we know? Because we only trust new prophets because of miracles they do. What do we know about them? They can maybe do a miracle, and okay, that's the criteria basically to be a prophet. I mean, it has to be the right kind of person and so on. But why do we believe Moshe Rabbeinu? We believe Moshe Rabbeinu because we saw Moshe at Sinai being the communicator between us and Hashem. We saw. Any other prophet that comes, it's just hearsay. If he does miracles and so on, that's a criteria for accepting him as a prophet. But the moment if he contradicts Moshe, so that's it. He's lost any credentials. Why? Because Moshe's credentials are not based on making miracles, not based on hearsay. We, our ancestors, and it was transmitted to us person by person, saw Moshe Rabbeinu's validity. So that language is used, saw. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw and learned in a way of re'iyah, in a way of vision, in a way of sight. He wanted to teach the Jewish people also, because that was, if he would teach them, then they too would be elevated to have an experience that is as much clarity is referred to as re'iyah, as vision. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be the one, he understood, he should be the one that's teaching. The quality is going to be unbelievable, incomparable, as if it would go through other intermediaries. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu figured and understood that he should be the one to teach the Jews, and he should be the one to answer all their quandaries, he should be the one to do all their judgments, and it will work, and the people will be able to, and will be happy in a peaceful, this will be peaceful for them also. Chapter 6, so what did Yisrael have to say about that? Good point, Moshe Rabbeinu. So what is Yisrael's advantage in the way he looks at it? Ah, Yisrael came from a different place. Till now we explained where Moshe is looking at things from. Yisrael came from his land. He was a convert. He saw the Jews not the way they are in the Moshe perspective when they're near Moshe. He saw the way they are in their tents when they're having quarrels. And he said, one second, you know, to actually judge them in their place of disparity, in their place of bickering, you can't manage this with a one-man show, only with Moshe. When we talk about learning Torah, teaching about the path you should go in and teaching the Torah, so we could say that this itself, when the Yidden are learning Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, they get elevated to the level of Moshe, and they're able to learn as Moshe Rabbeinu wants to transmit in a way of vision. And they can learn at his level. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, you continue to teach them Torah. That's fine, you're able to do that. However, when we're talking about judgments are already getting into the nitty-gritty of their business dealings, their interactions with others. They're no longer, this is not about being in the world of Moshe. This is about how this plays out in their world, in the world of arguments, in the world of disagreements. Therefore, at that time when they need to have an answer about their petty grievances, maybe not petty, about their disagreements that really need somebody, an objective look of the Torah, they want to hear what does Moshe Rabbeinu have to say about it. However, when they are in front of Moshe, you see, when Moshe, if they come to Moshe, and Moshe does adjudicate, does tell them, the thing is, standing in the presence of Moshe, the arguments seem so futile, seem so trivial. Here the Rebbe says in the brackets, even a five-year-old understands that he acts differently if he's in the same room, the same kid acts differently if his teacher's there or his teacher's not there. Right? Even if he's just there alone in his room doing his own stuff, he's one kind of guy. When his teacher's sitting there, he's a different kind of guy. So when they come to present their quarrels before Moshe, it all becomes much, much more trivial, much more, much easier to overcome, right? Moshe Rabbeinu says this and this, and that's it, over. However, when they come back to their tents, oy vey, they still have an issue. And you know what? Hashem Hashem agreed. Hashem said that we have to know that Moshe Rabbeinu, there's going to be a time when they're going to go into Israel, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to pass away, and the people are going to stray away from the way of Hashem. And even though we need to prepare for that time, even though they won't be able to learn Torah directly from Moshe and get elevated to his level, but the Torah still needs to be accessible to them. It's the word of Hashem. And the Torah needs to get to them through the transmission of the hierarchy of the various levels of leadership. So we need to take into account that the availability of Moshe Rabbeinu, even though, yes, in a sense, from his perspective, when he speaks to them, when they come and deal with their grievances in front of him, they get elevated, and it is dealable, technically, through Moshe Rabbeinu, but the thing is, when they go back to their tents, and mainly when they're going to go to post Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're going to Eretz Yisrael, mean a different reality, that's not going to be available to them. So therefore, Hashem said, yes, let's already put into place this concept that the word of Hashem is going to be transmitted through various levels of hierarchy of Jewish leadership. And this, says the Rebbe, and here's a... this is also the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't feel that this is something he has to implement. Because, and here the Rebbe says in brackets, fascinating brackets, besides the fact that the concept of a Jewish leader changing his behavior because maybe one day he won't be here. So that's a dvar chiddush. That's a new thing. That's not the tradition. It's not the tradition that the leader has to worry and change his behavior because maybe one day he won't be here. Besides for the fact that in this case it was never supposed to be that way. There was an option on the table still that Moshe Rabbeinu would take the Jews into Eretz Yisrael. And if he would take them into Eretz Yisrael, there would have been the Mashiach already. That's it. There wouldn't have been any. He wouldn't have passed away. And then the continuation would all have been in a way of sight, transmission through Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe couldn't be the one to initiate this change. From his perspective, we're going to just keep going smooth sailing, going to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to keep teaching, going to Eretz Yisrael. Everything's going to be good. Yisrael came from a place where he said, one second, but the people need something to bring it to their level. And Hashem agreed, yes, because it's not going to be smooth sailing at the end of the day. It's going to be a period of going to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to pass away. And then, so we do need to find a way, says Hashem, of making it bridgeable. The message of Hashem through Moshe needs to also be made bridgeable even closer through the hierarchy of leadership that Yisrael proposed. Chapter 7, this Inyan we have to... But however, to put this into motion, this also had to be done by Moshe Rabbeinu. This also had to be done, because everything in Torah, even things that are relevant to future generations, have to come through the persona of Moshe Rabbeinu. As we say, anything even that a student is going to make chidush, even new things that a student is going to come up with later generations, it's all already given to Moshe at Sinai. In other words, even we're calling it a chidush. We're saying that a student in later generations is creating something novel, something new, something that wasn't taught till then. But it's already been taught, been given to Moshe at Sinai. Because the person who's coming up with this thought is thinking of it, the student later generations is thinking about it through his intellect. Therefore, because it's coming through his intellect, I'm going to try and paraphrase this. I'm not 100% clear on this paragraph. Vadum, he says, because since this chiddush, since this novel idea of the diligent student, he came up with it through toiling in his intellect, the student who's coming up with this novel idea. Therefore, this chidush, this novel thing, cannot be a part of the Torah of Moshe unless it goes through Moshe. And therefore, if it's going through Moshe, it's the word of Hashem literally. So in other words, I'm going to jump here to what the Rebbe refers to in footnote on the next page. The Rebbe says that Bechlal, we want to understand about the transmission of Torah. The transmission of Torah, we have this too. On the one hand, the Torah was given only once at Sinai. Matan Torah. On the other hand, we talk about new things that are developed, and they also were given at Sinai. But, and then to make the question even bigger, it says that even after Mashiach comes, the Torah won't be given again. It was all given once. Matan Torah happened once. 3,334 years ago at the Mountain of Sinai, the Torah was given. Yeah, but it's still being extrapolated. There's still new, novel things coming out. Mashiach's going to teach a whole bunch of new stuff. It was all given already at Sinai. So the way it works is that it was given in an encapsulated form. All the information is there. Today we have the concept of a zip file. Perhaps we can use this as a little bit of an analogy. There's so much stuff there, but you have to unpack it. And so it's all being unpacked. If somebody comes up with something new, really we're saying it's already been given to Moshe. We're just unpacking it now. This is similar to what the Rebbe is saying here, that the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu took the initiative of Yisrael, Hashem said, yes, do it. And he said, you should... Yisrael said, the plan is, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, should see through your Ruach HaKodesh, through you, your Holy Spirit, you have to choose those leaders that are going to be the leaders in the hierarchical leadership of the Jewish people. And through that, what happens is that you've created a mechanism, you've created a precedent that there is transmission through the great leaders of the Jews who have an unbroken chain to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe gave smicha, he gave ordination to Yeshua to the elders, and until the end of the Talmud there was an unbroken chain of transmission. But the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who initiated it, that set the precedent, that created a mechanism, a spiritual mechanism, whereby the even what the judges are coming to in their own intellect, Moshe Rabbeinu has already appointed them, and apparently in this way, this is also gives room for appointment of future judges who the previous judges will appoint. But because Moshe has taken it and put it into his, so to speak, seichel, into his intellect, and appointed others, this now can become a model that works, that the wisdom of Hashem comes from Moshe, and then it gets transmitted to the leaders of the generations, to the other hierarchy that judges the Jewish people. Through this, we can now understand chapter 8. Why does it say va'ato techze? It doesn't say you should see in a Hebrew language. Tire, ri'i, I sing. It doesn't say va'ato tire. It says va'ato techze. Techze is a language of targum, of translation. It's there in the Torah. It's being used, this language, which is shows it's a bit... it's a diminished level of sight. It's not the highest level of ri'iyah. It's called you will gaze, or you will... It's the Aramaic, so it denotes that it's a little bit... Again, it's written in the Torah, but it's the Aramaic word written in the Torah. It shows that it's a little bit diminished, the level of sight. What does that mean? You see, because if Moshe Rabbeinu will look with ri'iyah, with the intensity of clarity of sight, which is the full level of Moshe Rabbeinu in all his intensity, so then you don't need the hierarchy, right? We said that when Moshe Rabbeinu is functioning at his top level of vision and transmitting that clarity of vision, he can do it himself. So he's saying no. That's why he says that when you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you will step down a little bit from your level. Right, just like we said before, you made me weak. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to teach the Jews to be the transmission between Hashem and the Jews, he has to weaken himself. He has to step down a notch in the intensity. So here too, in order to appoint those that should be, in order to get into the mindset, to be able to appoint those that should be part of the hierarchy of transmitting, you need to be techeze. You need to see, but in a more diminished, a weakened level of sight. in language of Chassidus, calls it Achoyrayim Shel Bechinas Re'iya. It's kind of the backside of the level of clarity of vision. It's not forward, it's a diminished level. So then, at that level, when you step down a notch from your clarity of vision, you will see the way the Jews are in their, I won't say lowliness, I don't mean lowliness, in their truthful, mundane place. A Jew is not mundane, Jew is holy, sorry, I'm looking for the right language. You'll see them the way they are from their perspective. And therefore, you'll be able to do what needs to be done. You'll be able to find people that should be appointed to be leaders of the Jews. And that's why this portion is called Yisrei. Yisrei is called Yisrei because Yisrei got this added to the Torah. In other words, Moshe, no. If you ask from Moshe's perspective, this whole portion shouldn't be in here. He would have just led them and taught them with the clarity and it was manageable. However, Yisrei came and he added something. He brought an added value, an advantage to the Torah, so to speak, this parsha. That he said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to step down a notch, deal with the Jews the way they are in their ordinariness, so to speak. And this was something that he brought to the Torah. And here the Rebbe says what I explained to you just a little bit earlier. But the Rebbe says there's two ways really of looking at it. Similar, but it's nuanced. And that is, obviously, because this portion, we said Yisrael added something. You can't add. But it was obviously given to Moshe at Sinai. But there's a concept that the Rebbe teaches here that Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe the way it is, I'll say the Hebrew words, Mushreshes Behelem Ha'atzmi De'Ein Sof. Sourced in the existential concealment of the unlimited light of Hashem. In other words, higher than the Torah, the way it comes in a revealed state. It's in a contracted, concealed, hidden state. And in that way, it was there, but Moshe Rabbeinu hadn't seen it yet. It hadn't become unpacked in Moshe Rabbeinu's cognizant yet. And Yisrael brought it to revelation. Similar to what we said earlier, that Moshe Rabbeinu was given the whole entire generality of the Torah, and all the details still need to be extrapolated, and that can take many... And that's still happening now, 3,000 years later, when we come up with something novel in the Torah. If it's true, it has to already be included in Moshe Rabbeinu's transmission, the transmission that came to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. So, basically, just to sum it up, what have we said? Just to sum it up, it's two perspectives. There's the Moshe Rabbeinu perspective, and Moshe Rabbeinu not just doesn't see anything wrong with trying to lead the entire people by himself. You know, this is the thing. Today, to be quite frank, if you saw a leader trying to do everything himself today, you know what you'd say? You'd say he's not a good delegator. He's not emotionally intelligent. He doesn't get the people. He doesn't know what they need. He's living in his own mind. By Moshe Rabbeinu, chas v'shalom, it's not the way it is. Moshe Rabbeinu, though, from his perspective, and when he talks to the people and he shares with them his true intensity, he can do it all himself. And they can receive it from him himself. But the thing is that what happens when he's no longer there? And how much does this truly become the reality of who they are? Yisrael, coming from the perspective of the recipient, says it's elevating them to a position which is not really them. It's, so to speak, like a magnet that keeps attracting them. But we want to create real change in the people. You got to make it a little bit more palatable. And Hashem goes along with Yisrael and he says, yes, that's true. Because, we want it to be absorbable. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu has to see it the way he sees it. And push, because really, he was pushing to go his way, the highway, and not even have a golus. Go into Israel, and would it all be in a way of clarity and vision. Hashem chose the other way for us. No, there was going to be it wouldn't be like that. And therefore, it needed to get dressed down, so to speak, a notch. It had to be in a way of techeze, that Moshe, but it had to be done through Moshe. So Moshe would have to tone down his clarity, relate to the people the way they were, and appoint a hierarchy that should be part of the transmission. And this is why, this is the basis of the hierarchy of transmission that we have ever since then. Chapter 9, according to this, we can understand that really it seems that there was a diminishment that happened through this, that Moshe Rabbeinu went down, right? From clarity to being more shrouded to being a little bit more clouded. Techeze, not even the Hebrew word for sight, techeze, the Aramaic targum for sight. But it's all worth it, we said. Why? Because you have to go and speak to the level of Jew that needs something toned down. But it seems to be a step down. Says the Rebbe, in the Pnimios, when you look at the inside story, it's not like that. Why? Because the inside story tells us a different. We have a klal. What's the rule? When you reach down, when you take care of something that's lower level, when you're worried about taking care of Jews, that is to be found in a place that you need to reach lower to elevate them, you actually reach a much higher level. That's the reality. That's the reality, the way it works. Just like the Friedrich Rebbe tells in the Maimorim of Yud-Shvat, that because of the Avodah we do here, because of the service of Hashem we do here down in these lower worlds, so that's why, and in this world we need an intense battle, we have to battle against our urges and against our impulses, against of the body and the animal soul. For that Hashem spends the greatest treasures that he's been hoarding forever. And until it's not needed for the victory in the battle, he doesn't even show it, let alone dispense it. And who does he dispense it to? He dispenses it to those that are going to need it, to the foot soldiers. They're doing the war. So in other words, by being in the trenches, really reaching down really deep to deal with what needs to be dealt with way down, we get Hashem's most hidden, most treasures get opened to us and provided to us to do that work. So Moshe Rabbeinu going and taking care even of the Jew that needs that extra touch, not able to be, the Jews, as they were saying then, they couldn't be recipients directly from the clarity of vision. It's not a demotion for Moshe Rabbeinu, on the contrary. What happens is that because of that, we get elevated to the highest of the high, because Hashem gives us the highest. In order, you need to be much higher to reach much lower. Anyway, through this, we'll be able to fulfill Hashem's ultimate kavanah, Hashem's plan, and that is Nis'av v'Hakadosh Baruch Hashem desire to have a dwelling place in the lower worlds. In this low world, which is no world lower than it, and that will be fulfilled and recognized in completion with the revelation of, in a revealed way, with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu speedily in our days. Amen. Thank you.